or we can elevate and we can press on depending on how we, where we land when we begin, when we begin our days. And the power of vision, the power of beginning to think and articulate and have a trajectory towards, hey, this is where I want to go. This is where I like to go. This is where I like to finish. Whatever the case is. I mean, even as young children, you probably had a vision knowing that. I remember anticipating my birthday. And I remember my 7th birthday. I was born in February. We lived up northwest BC in Kitimat. And I was anticipating my birthday on the side of a frozen river with hot dogs and a fire. And my friends all kind of all around us. And anticipating that. And it was great because you anticipate these things. And as you do, you know, there's an expectation of what is taking place in that, in the waiting time. And then there's the actual event that takes place, which was awesome. And then there's the remembering aspect of the event as well. And events like that are moments in our life. And really that's what we have, are moments in our life that that help us propel and traject us onto next moments. And as a church, we have had many moments. And as we anticipate, as we look forward towards next steps, we continue to ask ourselves the question as leadership here is, who are we and where are we going? And one of the arenas that we've been wanting to step into has been in the area of continuing to impact our community for Christ as we follow Jesus. As we follow Jesus, we'll impact our community. And I'm excited about the launch next week of our market, in anticipation of what we have for an open house in our office space. I was just emailing the district superintendent, Errol, and he's been on my case because I have to make an annual report every year, and I'm not an administrative guy. And so I was supposed to have this annual report done in February. So I get this email from you know, administrator DS saying, hey, your report's due. I'm like, hey, the dust hasn't settled yet. Give me a break, you know. And he was really good. So I got to tell him about it. I said, this is what's been happening. We got some real estate in town, and we have a permanent address at 527 Constance Street. And it so happens that it lands right where the arena in the neighborhood that we've been wanting to impact for years. And it's just not a coincidence that God continues to direct us accordingly. And so we've had this vision towards wanting to take the next steps in impacting our community. And so again, our identity is as children of God. And we walk this road together. So I want to encourage you in giving thanks to God for what he's done for us already. And so next Sunday, we're going to have a Thanksgiving Sunday. Yeah, it's not October yet, but hey, we need to give thanks. In fact, we need to give thanks more regularly. And I would encourage you, as I've been learning, when you have a thankful heart, it keeps you from the thoughts of the past, or locks you in. What I'm saying by that is, often we can default to what I would call victim mode. Woe is me. That happened to me. This happened to me. And all because of these things is why my life is the way it is. That's stinking thinking if you talk to Arnie. And what happens is, when you give thanks, it changes. Actually, there's actually a chemistry in your brain that actually changes. And when you give thanks, it removes you from the victim mentality to the victor mentality. And as we have a trajectory towards, hey, now I want to go, I'm wanting to aim towards this particular goal in my life. And instead of being dwelt in the past, you can actually move forward into the future. And Paul talks about that in Romans, the importance of not conforming to the patterns of this world, but being transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind is the new thinking. And so as we envision the future and as we give thanks, God is pulling things together both in your own individual life and that of the greater picture as we minister together. Things like the market. We have a ministry center now. And I'm going to share a little bit more over the next couple of weeks about how I get a sense of what God is saying. Hey, this is how we're going to use and capitalize this time in the life of Harborview. This is good stuff. This is good days. We have a ringer of a guest speaker this morning. His name is Cameron Aiken. He might be familiar to you. And Cam also, come on up, Cam. Cam also has been on quite a journey and with the first 5 months of this year. And January was not an easy month for Cam and the community youth. And I want to take an opportunity just to pray with Cam and to bless him as he brings the word this morning. And we can encourage him this way. Welcome here, Cam. So, Lord, I thank you for my friend. Thank you for my friend, and I thank you that his heart is wanting to beat with that of Christ. And as he ministers to the youth in our community, and as doors have been opened, Lord, I would ask that you would even open them wider, that you would rip the hinges off as he steps into lives of youth and those who work with youth around in our community as well. The favor that he has experienced would also increase, Lord, with that also wisdom to know how to walk out what you are giving him in these days. And so we're grateful for what you have to say through him, and may our hearts be ready to receive as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, I got a green light. Is that good? Our church has a banner that's normally hanging up there. It says, following Jesus by serving our community. This morning I want to talk to you about service and how we can actually meet with God in service. And I think that service is becoming more and more important, not that it's ever not been important in the Christian faith, but it's becoming more and more important as people are less and less interested in what we have to say. Less and less interested in giving us a hearing, or in giving us kind of that's really nice, like these religious people, they're doing good stuff, and we kind of respect that, whether or not we agree with them about that. That's becoming less and less the case. I don't know if you've noticed that. And we kind of have two options, or maybe there's multiple options, but two options that I can think of. One option is that we can kind of go into ourselves and say, oh, we live in such a wicked society, and we're so badly persecuted now, nobody listens to us anymore. Or we can say, wow, we're right back where Christianity began, where we were misunderstood, and we were even our actions were not seen for what they really were. Did you know that in Rome, because Christians practiced communion, bread and wine, there was these rumors that started that they were actually cannibalizing people and drinking their blood. And so there was all these things that people got accused of doing. And I tell you, the things that I've heard, and I'm sure Nathaniel probably heard some of the same things, like I've overheard people say things in the high school, kids say things about what Christianity teaches, and I'm like, what? Where did you hear that? Like, that's not even like a misconstrued version of what we might teach. Like, it's just way, way out of there. I don't know if you've had that. I've heard some weird things. And I'm like, do I get involved and try and correct them, or do I just leave it? And I think part of the way that we respond to all these things is just in service. Just in service. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to be in Mark chapter 10, 35 to 45. No problem. There you go. Mark chapter 10, verse 35 to 45. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, we're able. And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever should be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave or servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So James and John are talking to Jesus, and they're thinking, meteoric rise, top of the billboard charts, how do we move up with you? How do we keep things going up and to the right? How do we have that number one New York Times bestseller? How do we ascend through the ranks? How do we have our career soaring? None of these things are necessarily bad, but they approach God with this mentality. Jesus, how do we get to the top with you? And Jesus answers them in the way that they didn't really want. Instead of how do you get higher with you, how do we get to the top with you, Jesus? He says, this is how you're going to go deeper with me. They're saying, Jesus, how do we go higher? And Jesus is saying, this is how you go deeper with me. Verse 42, Jesus called them to him and said, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Basically, he's saying, you've seen the way the world does it. Power and ruler and lording it over someone else. Flexing your muscle, flashing your cash, abusing your power. Now see how I do it. And I'm not sure if things have really shifted in leadership in our global scale, but it seems more and more like leaders are a little bit more getting back to that flexing their muscle, flashing their cash style of leadership that these people that Jesus is speaking to would have been very familiar with. Kind of might makes right. He who has the gold makes the rules. And Jesus is saying, I'm calling you to a totally different style of life. So how do we find God in service? How does God reveal himself to us as we seek, like Jesus, not to be served, but to serve? I think there's numerous ways that we find God through service, but we're just going to focus on four, and they're all around the theme of identifying with Christ. So as we serve, we're identifying with Christ who came and said, hey, I'm the king of everything, I'm the creator of the universe, and even I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So when we're serving in small ways, we're identifying with Christ in little ways. So what are those four areas that we identify with Christ that we're going to talk about today? We're going to talk about pain, how when we serve, we identify with Christ in the pain of service. We're going to talk about power, how we identify with Christ in being empowered to serve. We're going to talk about people, how we see God in the people that we serve, and Jesus actually experienced that as well, which is pretty incredible to think of. He is God, he knows God fully, he knows the Father fully, and all of the fullness of God dwells in him bodily, and yet he sees God in the people that he serves, sees God working in their lives. So pain, power, people, and pure joy. We're going to start with the fun one. We're going to start with pain. Verse 38, serving others can be painful. Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. You're able to drink the cup that I drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism with which I am able to be baptized? They're like, yeah, that sounds good. I can drink a cup. I can be baptized. No big problem. But he's talking about the pain and the suffering that he's about to endure. And it hadn't all really sunk in. So our service and our suffering is not going to be on the same level as Christ's suffering when we serve. But there's just a little piece, little pieces of suffering that you're going to experience when you serve. And those things, if you let them, can lead you back to identifying with Christ and worshiping him, because you'll see what he's done. So what we experience is just going to be a little piece of what Christ has experienced. For example, we've had a really difficult time with Charlotte going to school. She started kindergarten, and she didn't do preschool very much. Well, she did a little bit of preschool. She didn't really do a lot of kindergarten or daycare. So she's having this huge sort of separation anxiety from Candace, and Candace is telling me, you know, how difficult it is every day, and I'm like, oh, honey, that sounds so tough. And then one Monday morning, it was my turn to drop off Charlotte at school. And I kept it together for the first part, and then I cried in the counseling office when she couldn't see, but I kind of like cleaned it up so everything's calm. And by the time I walked out of the school, I was just like crying just to see her go through that anxiety and fear over school. And Candace is like, well, now you know what it's like. And I'm like, well, thanks, honey. That makes me feel great right now. But in reality, I didn't really know what it was like. That was just one day out of however many days Candace has had to deal with that, right? Like when somebody says to you, oh, well, walk a mile in my shoes. Well, sure, I could walk a mile in your shoes, and I would just know what a mile in your life felt like. I wouldn't know the whole experience. This is a similar way when we serve and we experience pain in that service, we're just identifying with a little bit of Christ's sufferings. Not just on the cross, but when he came to serve us and he gave up everything, emptied himself so that he could come to serve and not to be served. So we identify with Jesus just in a little way when we serve others in His name. Maybe you're serving someone or some group of people, and they will not accept the help they know they need. How many of us have been there, trying to help somebody, and they won't accept the help they know they need? Jesus says in Matthew 23, "Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing." And you are not willing. So He's crying out over this city, over His people group, how I want to help you so much if you just listen to me and you're not willing. So we can identify with Christ in just a small way. Wow, Jesus, I'm trying to help this individual in my family or in my friends or in my neighborhood, and they need this help, and they want this help, but they won't accept it. And you can say, wow, that's basically your story, God. You're reaching out to help us, and a lot of us won't accept that help. And it can lead you to just identifying with a little bit and going, okay, these are some of the things you must have experienced, Jesus, and how I worship you, because in the midst of our continual rejection of your help and the things that you offer us, you continue to love us, you continue to show grace, you continue to offer mercy. Maybe you're serving someone or some group of people, and they're taking everything you have and always wanting more. Has anybody ever been there? Right? We've all been there probably at a different times in our life. When we think of Jesus, when the crowds are pulling at Him, when they're surrounding Him, He didn't stay for everything. He had to move on. But in small ways, we kind of experience, wow, Jesus, like, I'm so tired just trying to help my neighbor who I do everything I can for them, and they always want more, and they always ask for more, and they always tell me that I'm not doing enough, and it's my fault. And this was your life, Jesus. This, when you walked the earth, people were literally, there's people that were crowding you, literally pulling on you, trying to get you, hey, come and do this. Hey, come and do this. Hey, heal me. Hey, my daughter's about to die. Make her well. And you say, Jesus, I worship you, and I identify in this small way with you, and I see how much greater and how much more vast your love is for people than I would ever have. Maybe it's costing you so much to serve others, time and money, and you're getting worn out. And you can identify with a small way how Jesus gave up everything. You experience just a glimpse of that. You find Him in identifying in just a small way with that. And you thank Him for what He's given up. You say, Jesus, I feel like I'm giving up a lot of things to try and serve this person or these people. And yet, Jesus, I know that You gave up immeasurably more than I could ever imagine so that You could serve me, so that You could serve those people around me. Serving others can be painful, but we can find God in that pain when we see what He's done and when we worship Him for how much He has done for us. Because that's really, you know, when you think about you're trying to help somebody and they're not listening, and then you think, oh God, this is just a little bit of what you experienced. But then you stop for a second and say, wait a second, God, this is me. I'm that person who you're trying to help and I won't listen when I daily turn away from your will, or when I daily do the things that I know that are going to lead me away from you, or not step into the things that I know you're offering me to lead you deeper with you. Not only is there pain in our service, but Paul tells us in Philippians 3:10, he says that I long to know the power of Christ and sharing in His sufferings, and to know the power of His resurrection. So there's an understanding that He's going to identify with Christ's sufferings as he seeks to serve the world and serve the church, and He's also saying that He longs to know the power of Christ's resurrection. So when we're serving, there can be power. We find God in serving others when we recognize the need for His power and experience His power at work in and through us. So oftentimes we're serving other people and things are going well, and then we start to get worn out. And then we come to a place where we realize, okay, Lord, I can't do this without You. So you kind of start here. If you imagine sort of a cycle, you kind of start here, imagine a circle, and you're serving. And then you get to a point where you realize, I can't do this on my own power. So you ask God, empower me, Lord, fill me with Your Holy Spirit so that I can do this. And then you're able to serve more. And then you get to this point where you think, wow, I can't do this anymore, Lord. I need more of Your empowering Spirit to serve people. And then you go to the place where You're asking Him to fill you more and more. And this cycle, hopefully, will continue and will continue. So we come to a place when we're serving where we realize that we don't have the capacity to do what we need to do in our own strength. And in that, we find God, because if we're wanting to continue serving, then we're going to find God because we're going to cry out to Him, asking Him to give us more power, more of Him, more capacity, so that we can serve other people. And I'm going to pause for a second, too, because there might be cases where you're serving and you need to take a step back. Maybe if you identify with Christ in your service, you'll see There was times when Jesus could have stayed and could have preached and could have healed, and he left. He got on a boat, said, okay, let's go spend some time in solitude. So maybe that's something to consider as well. But when we're asking for more power, we're actually finding God. We're seeking God for more power and service. Other times we're serving, and we actually experience His power working through us. Have you ever had a time in your life or a moment? It could be a dramatic moment where you're serving and you do something or you say something or you're empowered to kind of carry on, and you think, wow, that was beyond me. Sometimes it's a dramatic sort of single moment. Sometimes it's less dramatic and less obviously God, but He empowers you to continue serving over a long period of time. I remember one time, I was 16 or 17, I think, and I had a friend, and she was going through a horrible time in her life, and she was living with my family for a little bit, and she was a Buddhist. And so she was kind of questioning me about Christianity and stuff like that. And I was able to answer all her questions super easily and super quickly. And after the conversation was over, I realized, Jesus, I didn't know some of those answers that I just gave her. So there was this little glimpse of, wow, like I just found you, God, because you worked in and through me in a way that was beyond me. And there's other times where it's less dramatic. You maybe look back over a decade of your life and you think, wow, God, you empowered me to care for that ailing family member, or to continue to love on that belligerent neighbor for a decade. And you know, maybe there wasn't a big moment of, oh hallelujah, the heavens have opened and my spiritual gifts have been poured out. Maybe there's been a long period of time where God's empowered you to serve. Recognize it. Recognize His work in your life. Celebrate it. Thank God for His work in your life, in and through you. You identify with Christ, who is dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit during His earthly ministry. He was dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit working in and through Him to serve others. So we can identify with Him in that. Say, okay, Jesus, I know how dependent You were on the Spirit, and in this little way, I've seen Your Spirit work in and through me as I've been dependent on Him, and I want more of that. I want more of Him working in and through me. So you find God in service, in pain, and in power, and in people. When you're serving people, I was about to say you'll be surprised, but I don't think I need to, because I think all of us have been serving people. So when you're serving people, you probably have seen that you see God working in their lives in an incredible way, and when you recognize it and notice it and celebrate it, that leads you to worship towards God. Even Jesus was surprised by some of the things He saw in people. In Luke 7, there's a Roman centurion with a servant who's dying, and he says to Jesus, Lord, don't trouble Yourself. I'm not worthy for You to come under my roof, therefore I do not presume to come to You. But say the word, and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man set under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, He marveled at Him. So this man comes to Jesus, and he's a sort of a military ruler, and he says, okay, Jesus, I believe so much, I'm paraphrasing here, but I believe so much in Your power that I'm not even going to invite You to come to my house like all these other people are doing to heal the person that's sick. I know that because when I speak a word to my people, they do what I tell them to, and You're the Lord of all, so You speak a word, and this is going to happen. And Jesus, it says in the scriptures, Jesus marveled. He marveled at this man. And turning to the crowds that followed Him, He said, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. Jesus marveled. When you're serving people, you'll find God in people's responses. You'll find God at work in them, whether they know it or not. I think of when we first started the youth ministry, about 6 months or a year in, we were driving some youth home, and this one youth said to me, wouldn't it be cool if there was this place where after we died, we could go, and there'd be no crying and no tears, and I'd want everybody to be there. And I was like, you realize you just, almost quoted from Revelation a little bit and described heaven. It's like, oh, yeah, wow. And I saw God at work in that moment. Saw God at work in him. There was one time another youth worker who's not a believer quoted the Bible to me, and I don't think they even realized that they were quoting scripture, because they're like, our job is just planting seed and to see how, sowing seed and see how it grows. And I was like, yeah, I agree. another youth who put his faith in Christ a couple years ago, he said to me, after he put his faith in Christ, he said, I never really told anybody this, but I used to sit in my room listening to music, and I'd hear my mom calling my name, so I'd stop the music and take my headphones off. Mom, you calling me? No, I'm not calling you. Leave me alone. So he'd go back to listening to music, and he'd hear his mom calling him by name. He'd hear the voice calling him by name. So he'd take his headphones off. Mom, what? I'm not calling you. And we think, wow, where have we heard this story before? And that was just amazing. The same youth, when he put his faith in Christ, he was sitting in my car with another youth leader. We were talking through these different things, and he said, "Wow!" He said, "There's something special about this car." It's like nothing special about the car, but the Spirit of God has come into your life, and your life is going to be different now. And I thought, "Wow!" You see God at work in people when you serve them. There's another youth who a counselor at the high school sent me an email, said, "Hey, we've got this youth that wants to go to church. Maybe you can help connect him with the church." I said, "Oh, sure." So we met, and he said, "Well, I actually just went to church and I became a Christian." So I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, it was Christmas Eve and I thought I should go to church." I said, "Oh, does your family go to church?" He said, "No, nobody goes to church in my family." He said, "It was Christmas Eve and I just thought that would be the right thing to do." So he wandered into Glad Tidings downtown, and they're presenting the gospel on Christmas Eve. So he gives his life to Christ, and so I said, "Well, my work here is done." But I saw God, working in his life in a powerful way already. I said, "Okay, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to get connected with a church, or what would you like to do?" He said, "Yeah, I think I'm going to go back to that church again. I really like that." And so we connected a little while later, and he said, "Yeah, I went back to that church, and they invited people to get baptized. They said, if you put your faith in Christ, this is the next step." And he said, "Okay, I want to get baptized." So I said, "Okay." And he said, "Yeah, so I signed up for baptism classes in there next week, and then I'm going to get baptized the next Sunday." So he goes to church once, puts his faith in Christ, just because he felt he should. Well, obviously, we see God at work there, calling him, drawing him to himself. He goes to church a second time and gets called to baptism, goes to baptism classes. Third time going to church, he's getting baptized on Easter Sunday. So I'm saying, "Okay, Lord, you see God at work when you serve people." And that had nothing to do with me. I mean, I got an email and I met with this guy once or twice and just talked with him. God had already lined all this stuff up. And you see God at work in people's lives, and you direct that back to God in worship, and you glorify him. You'll find God by seeing him at work in other people, which will lead you to praise him, to worship him, and to give thanksgiving towards him. So pain, people, power, and then in pure joy, we find God in the pure joy that he gives us in the midst of service, even when it's painful and when it's difficult. James 1, we're told, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." When you're identifying with Christ, living to serve and not to be served, there's going to be trials. Can I get an amen? Right? But we find God and the joy that he brings in the midst of that. I think that so often we get burned out serving other people. One, because we lose sight of what Christ has called us to, and we begin to live to please them instead of to please God. And two, I think also we get burned out trying to serve people because we miss this pure joy. We start to expect that service should be miserable. We start to expect that I should be miserable if I'm going to be useful to the kingdom. This is just the way things are. But Jesus, the ultimate servant of all servants, right? When he's on the cross, what does it say? "But for the blank set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame," because he saw what was to come. He saw what the end result was going to be. And we meet with God and we find God and the joy that he brings when he gives us joy in the midst of service, when we seek him for joy and empowering in the midst of service, and when we look forward to what our service is directed towards, right? Does Harborview Church follow Jesus by serving our community, because that's the end goal? No. Service is a means to an end, to glorifying God and to letting people know we're serving you because we've been served by the God of all the universe. He has come down and he has served us, and we want to invite you into that incredible life. I had a friend describe it one way, and it's always stuck with me. This was about 15 years ago he said this. He said, "We've got a light." And he's like, he actually was on stage when he did, and he had a flashlight, and he shined it out at the audience. He said, "Who likes to have a flashlight shined in their eyes?" Nobody. But he said, "We have a light, and we can point it down and say, this is the way. Would you come and walk with me? Would you come and walk with me?" So we invite people into this life of following a Savior, the King of all the universe, who came to not be served, but to serve. This is why we serve. This is why we serve, to glorify God. And we know that tons of people we serve are going to say, no thanks, I'm not following Jesus, I want nothing to do with this. And we still serve them anyways, because we see that that's what our Savior did. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, this is Hebrews 12, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking to Jesus, keeping our eyes on Him, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So sometimes serving is a blast. Sometimes there's just sort of inherent joy in it. When I take youth to camp, not in spring, in the spring it's a lot of work, but in the summer, they do everything, like the camp has everything, so I basically just have to get them there, hang out with them, swim in the ocean, which is my favorite thing to do, so I just love it. So sometimes it's just a blast to serve, right? Like some of the stuff I've heard about the market, I'm like, wow, that sounds fun. But then other times, it's not so much fun. Other times, you know, the same youth that we take to summer camp, you know, I'm visiting them 4 times in the hospital in a month because they keep trying to end their life. Not so much fun. But God can bring joy into that situation. And I think that we can be a people of joy when nobody else can. Did you know? I keep trying to find the reference for it because I learned about this in church history. But when the plague hit certain cities, Christians would hang out and stay behind, knowing that they were going to die, so that they could serve these people that were dying. Isn't that incredible? I'm going to keep trying to find that reference, but like, isn't that just incredible? Because they have a joy, we have a joy, we should have a joy that is beyond what anybody else has. You know, people have talked to me before about the fear of death. I'm like, I'm not afraid of dying. Like, I don't want to suffer. Like, if I want to die quickly, like even on Good Friday service, I was like, what would happen if a bomber came in here and took some of us out? I was like, well, I'd really like him to take me and Candace and my family all together, because I wouldn't want anybody to have to be left behind. But we should have a joy that's beyond anything else, because we're looking beyond what's in the here and now. We're looking towards the glory that God is going to invite us into to be a part of. Ooh, I'm excited about that. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Crucifixion. I'd say that's a pretty painful service. But He was looking forward beyond that to what would be accomplished to the glory of God, to our salvation, and to His glorification at the right hand of God. So we, in difficult times in service, when it's just tough and it's just painful, we can look beyond what we are in the midst of to what will be accomplished for God's glory, and for eternity with Him. And we can find Him in that. In your ears, in your eyes, and your mind are open, and your heart is open, and if you recognize, as Acts says, that in God we live and move and have our being, then you'll find God through service in so many ways. You'll identify with Him and celebrate what He's done when you experience the pain, the sorrow, the toil of service at times. You'll find Him when you recognize that you are not enough in yourself for the service He has called you to, and you cry out to Him for more power to serve. You'll find Him as you recognize and celebrate times He's worked through you in service, and you'll find God through the people you serve as God's incredible work, as you see God's incredible work in their lives. You'll find God through service as you experience the joy that He gives, the joy that motivated and empowered Christ, and that He'll give that to you to serve, to live in the footsteps of the Son of Man who came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. So, Father, we thank You for Your word. My prayer, Jesus, is that we would become more like You today. And I just think that's so incredible that we can every day of the week, we can become more and more like Christ. And You tell us in Your word that we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. Wow. So You saw this Sunday, Lord. You saw this Sunday from the beginning of time and before that, and You gave it to us as an opportunity to become more and more conformed to Your image, Jesus. And so we ask that You would work in our lives and that we would respond to that work in such a way that we would see You in service, in such a way that we would identify with and become more like the King of all the universe, You who came to serve us and not to be served. When all we've ever owed You is everything, you didn't take anything, and you gave us everything. When all we could ever give you was all of our service and everything that every breath that we could ever take, you came to serve us. And so we thank you for your humility. We thank you for your joy, and we ask that you would implant that in our hearts. And we ask that as a church, as we seek to follow you, following Jesus by serving our community, that we would have all these things, that we would have all these identifying experiences with you, in power and in pain and in seeing you at work in people and in the pure joy that you bring as we look at the things that you're doing and as we look beyond our present circumstances to the home that you're calling us to and that you're calling everybody that we're serving towards, Lord Jesus. Would you open up doors in our community that only you can open? Would you empower us to really be, continue to be a church that serves, a church that came not to be served, but to serve. Amen. I think that's so key as Christian people, as people in the church, that we would be known by service. Because, people can say, well, I disagree with your message, and I think that you're bigoted, and I think that you're hateful. And maybe you haven't been told these things, but I've been told these things many times. you're a hateful bigot for your beliefs. And you force them on at-risk children. And I think that we need to be recognized by our service. Amen.